What up? What's up, everyone? This is Chris Asbrock here for Asbrock's Bengals Thoughts, brought to you by Impact Sports Cincinnati. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in to this latest episode here, where I'm going to discuss the Bengals and Ravens game from yesterday. This is coming a day late, as I was dealing with soccer games yesterday. So it's probably good that I didn't get a chance to get my thoughts out yesterday, because I was not real thrilled with everything going on. This was a tough one here. It had to be a little bit expected if you're a Bengals fan. The spread was, I believe, 12 going into the game. Ended up being 27-3 in a game that really was not close at all. Plain and simple, it was a game that got out of hand early, and you know, if it wasn't for the Bengals defense, it would have been a lot worse. The Bengals did a really good job defensively of coming back and getting and making some adjustments and getting this game, you know, to stay relatively, you know, close in terms of the way the two teams were playing. You look at the offensive line, and the offensive line was just, you know, they were simply atrocious. You know, there's no other way to put that. If you kind of go and you look at the, if you're going and looking at the stats here, Joe Burrow sacked 7 times. I mean, it was just a game where Joe Burrow was under duress the entire game. And it was something that, you know, you can't put your franchise quarterback in that situation game in and game out. We know the offensive line is brutal. We know that. But simply put, you cannot put your quarterback in that position. You know, you look back at David Carr when he was drafted by the Texans, and you know, his career was shot simply because of all the hits that he took. The confidence factor, you know, made him plummet. Like, you know, Dave Lapham was saying, I heard him talking about, you know, the whole Carr situation. Basically, you know, when you're sitting there and you are not, you know, you're going to get hit, you just don't know when it's going to come. It starts to mentally take a toll on you as a player. And that's what we're hoping we don't see from Joe Burrow here. The time of possession, you know, the Bengals were just, you know, it just seemed like it was constant. Like the Bengals were just unable to get anything going. The Ravens had a 10-0 lead going into the second quarter. They scored another touchdown in the second quarter there. Going into halftime, you're up 17-0. The Bengals made a really good adjustment after going down 17-0. The Bengals defensively, Lou Anarumo, you have to give them credit. They did a really good job of adjusting. They pretty much had a spy on Lamar Jackson the entire rest of the three quarters, basically, is how it played out, to where they were not letting Lamar Jackson get that outside run game going. Granted, Lamar Jackson was not 100%. So the Ravens game planned around that part of it, to where they weren't going to have Lamar Jackson run a lot. Basically, they were going to have him throw, and the Bengals were going to force him to throw, make him beat you through the air. And if you look at it, Lamar Jackson was 19 of 37 for 180 yards. He was sacked once. He did have 2 touchdowns. He did throw 1 interception. That was the Logan Wilson interception there. But you flip it back over to Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was 19 of 30 for 183 yards. Same amount of completions, 7 less attempts, and he had 3 more yards. His longest was 26 yards. He did have an interception. He ended up with a quarterback rating of 66.2, where Lamar Jackson's was 71.9. Again, Joe Burrow was sacked 7 times for 48 yards lost there. That is, you know, that's simply unacceptable. If you are, you know, any member of, you know, Bengals Nation here, whether it's the, you know, fans, coaching staff, you know, anybody in the organization, that's simply unacceptable. You cannot have your franchise quarterback get sacked 7 times. Now you got to give the Ravens a lot of credit. They threw a lot at Joe Burrow. they knew that was going to be the case going in. Plain and simple, it was going to happen. They were going to throw a lot of different looks at Joe Burrow, basically throw the kitchen sink at him and go from there. That's exactly what happened in this game, and you see the result of that. The Bengals had simply no time whatsoever to get anything going. Any drives that were made, you know, that they were able to sustain a little bit of, it ended up basically crashing and burning. Something, again, you cannot afford to have happen. Offensively on the ground, Joe Mixon, who was the FedEx Ground Player of the Week last week with his fantastic performance over Jacksonville, he was 24 for 59. That's an average of 2.5 yards per carry. His longest run was 7 yards. He ran it 24 times in a game like this. That's a game that, you know, they were just going to, I mean, it was going to be simply try and get out of there, you know, with as little damage as possible to the players. And unfortunately, that was, you know, Joe Mixon took a beating. Joe Burrow took a beating. Burrow ran 3 times for 10 yards. That's 3.3 yards per carry. He did have his longest of 6 yards. And then Mike Thomas had 1 for 1 yard as well. But then you flip it over. There were four different rushers, I should say, for the Ravens who had over 10 yards total. Ingram, Duvernay, Dobbins, and Edwards. Ingram, 11 for 57. Duvernay, 1 for 42. That was the big rush down the left-hand side there. Dobbins, 1 for 34, and then Edwards, 7 for 25. But the Bengals gave up overall 161 yards on the ground and 180 through the air. So again, it was defensively a solid performance by the Cincinnati Bengals. And the game that you didn't expect, I didn't expect it to be a Bengals victory by any means. This team isn't that good to go and face a Baltimore team like they used to and take care of them like in years past. And right now at this point in time, as we've seen, just not the case. The Bengals, they, with 32 seconds left, ended the shutout bid. That was on a Randy Bullock 38-yard field goal. Other than that, it was nothing. Overall, you look at it, defensively, the Bengals, over the last 3 quarters only gave up a single field goal, and that was a 39-yard field goal to Justin Tucker in the third quarter with 2:36 left in the quarter there. That's a great adjustment. Now, here again, with the way the Bengals played defensively, offensively, if there's any bit of, giving a quarterback time to throw, we have a franchise quarterback that can make the plays. I mean, plain and simple, he can do it. We've seen him do it already in just his, in his short tenure here in the NFL. That's what just kind of drives you nuts when you see this. When he's constantly dropping back, now granted, I'm not saying that the Bengals would have come in here and won this game, but man, hell, it would have been a lot closer than 27-3. In all reality, outside of the fumble recovery by Patrick Queen that he took to the house, it's a 20-3 game. Because that was a play, the Bengals were driving. It was a positive drive into that fourth quarter. At that point, it's 20-0. You get a touchdown there, you could be looking at, it's a 20-7 ball game there. It's like, okay, maybe we can put together a nice defensive stand here and get another drive going. Things like that, that momentum could start to build, and then you can really push forward and make something happen there. And unfortunately, it was just a phenomenal play. And then, was it Marcus Peters, I believe, was the one that knocked it out? I'll have to find the stats here. I'm pretty sure it was the forced fumble yes, it was Marcus Peters on that one. Just like I said, it was like an all-world play. I mean, it was just a great, great play. And then Patrick Queen houses it from 53 out on that tackle by Peters. Without that play there, like I said, it's a 20-3 game. Where the defense did a great, great job of keeping the Ravens' offense in check. I mean, in all reality, you look at the drives here. The first drive was a 6-play, 52-yard drive That ended up, I'm just going to go with the scoring drives here. Six plays, 52 yards. That took 2 minutes and 7 seconds. And then you had the Lamar Jackson touchdown pass to Mark Andrews. That was a 5-yard touchdown pass there. But that was a 15 play drive that took 7 minutes and 19 seconds and went 62 yards overall. Then you had the Lamar Jackson touchdown pass to Hollywood Brown. That was a 2-play drive that took 31, that went over 31 yards and took 24 seconds. So, you know, that there, you know, you're looking at a total of, what is that? That's 33 plays there just in those three scoring drives in that first, you know, in the first half. Third quarter, there was a 7-play, 44-yard drive that culminated in the Justin Tucker 39-yard field goal that ended up, you know, being a, you know, that covering 3.5 minutes. Then you had the Patrick Queen 53-yard fumble recovery where, like I said, where he housed. That's a defensive score there. You're not going to have any drive there. But the Bengals defense, out of the last 8 drives of this game, forced 3 points. That was it. That was the only thing that they conceded in this game. So you have to be thrilled with what you saw defensively. Granted, like I said, you're not playing against a fully healthy Lamar Jackson. You're not seeing a guy who is 100% in this game. But again, you play the guys who are in front of you, and the Bengals defense, you got to give them credit. Lou Anarumo did a phenomenal job of getting this team adjusted defensively and making the plays. Bengals were, you know, again, you look at offensively, and this is where the problem obviously lies with the play calling with Zach Taylor and Brian Callahan. You know, this is simply unacceptable to see. And then, you know, you keep seeing the fire Jim Turner hashtags all over Twitter and everything like that for, you know, Jim Turner, who has done a poor job, let's be honest, in coaching this offensive line and getting this team. Again, like I said, you've got a franchise quarterback. You have a quarterback who is, plain and simple, a rarity in this league. He's going to be a great quarterback, but my God, you have to get him some support. Keep him upright and not let him take these hits. You know, granted, we know, like I said, Jonah Williams is not going to be torched like he, you know, like he has been through a couple games. Jonah Williams is going to be a good offensive lineman for this football team. Bobby Hart, you know what you're going to get with Bobby Hart. You know, you look at the starting lineup here for the Bengals offense. Jonah Williams, Michael Jordan on the left side, Trey Hopkins, Alex Redmond, and Bobby Hart on the right side. Alex Redmond did a really good job last game. This game, obviously not so much. This was a game to where, like I said, you knew it was going to be rough for the Bengals offense just simply because of what the Ravens defense, what they do. They simply make it an absolute nightmare for a quarterback, especially a rookie quarterback with the different looks that they throw in. It looks like, you know, you're going to have a couple guys blitzing here and there, and suddenly they're not there. They're dropping the coverage, and here come a couple more guys that you did not expect to be blitzing. There you go. You know, this was just a rough game overall, and a game that, like I said, simply put, you just cannot afford to have happen, you know, for this team. And, you know, things right now are not looking good. We've seen, you saw the injury here now to DJ Reader, which, from what we're hearing, is a quad injury where he will be out all season. So you're looking at your guys that you brought in, you know, via free agency, they're not there. And that's where we've got the problem. You know, we've got the guys who, you know, Mackenzie Alexander hurt, DJ Reader hurt, Mike Daniels hurt, Trey Wayans hurt. You know, those are the guys that, you know, those are 4 of your guys that you brought in via free agency not playing, and they all have not played a snap together this season. And that's where you kind of look, you know, we've criticized this Bengals defense. But it kind of makes you look back and say, well, man, maybe Lou Anarumo has done a pretty good job, because the guys that they brought in, they're not getting the job done. They're not getting the job done simply because they're not on the field. Let me rephrase that there. Because, you know, the guys that we brought in are not – they just haven't been there. You know, Josh Bynes is the only guy outside of DJ Reader, you know, who we're going to be playing – well, I'm sorry, along with Von Bell. Von Bell, he had a rough game. He could not cover Andrews to save his life today. Von Bell, you know what you're going to get out of Von Bell. He's a great safety. Between him and Jesse Bates, you've got a solid defensive, you know, safety right there. So, you know, you're good there, let's be honest. But DJ Reader, along with Mike Daniels, were supposed to be up front, along with, you know, Geno Atkins, you know, these kind of things. And they just, it wasn't happening. We didn't see these guys come together and play like we had hoped. And that's where a lot of the problem lies, is, you know, defensively, you know, these guys that we brought in, they're not, you know, they're not coming here and making it happen like we had hoped and like we had thought. But again, the DJ Reader injury, that's tough. That's a tough ask right there now for this Bengals defense to, you know, to come back now and get the job done over, you know, the next couple weeks. Now you're going to be facing the Indianapolis Colts, who are going to come in. The Colts are a solid football team. They just suffered a loss yesterday at the hands of the Cleveland Browns, who are now 4-1, along with the Baltimore Ravens, who were 4-1. And then you have the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 4-0. Bengals now 1-3-1. You know, you're kind of looking back now and saying, okay, you know, it's, you know, this is obviously the best division of football, plain and simple. Over the years, it's usually been one of the top divisions, if not the best division of football. And it's kind of returning back to that. Once the Bengals get a turnaround, we're going to see the Bengals. We'll get back into that conversation as well as one of the best four teams in this, you know, in this obviously division, because it's only a four-team division. But, you know, you have to look at it that way. This team is going to rebound. They will get better. But unfortunately, you know, what we've seen so far, it's not good. We saw the issues with Carlos Dunlap over the last couple days, where he was removed from the depth chart as the starter in favor of Carl Lawson. And, you know, Dunlap voiced his frustration with the simple fact that he was not given that heads up by the coaching staff, which I would find that hard to believe. But if that's the case, that's not good. Carlos Dunlap's been a veteran, you know, veteran presence in this locker room for years. Dunlap's been a huge part of this defense, and one that you would have to think is, you know, he's always going to be that veteran presence. And, you know, to do him wrong like that, if that's true, you know, I'm not a fan of that. You know, and now you have the issue here with AJ Green. You know, it's time to move on from AJ Green. I think we've hit that point now. It's, you know, it's done and over with here. AJ Green is not the AJ Green of old. The question is, what are we going to see? Now, I've been a basher of John Ross over the last couple weeks, and even last year I was not a fan of John Ross and some of the effort that he gave. But here's the thing, rather have John Ross or AJ Green? It's a lopsided thing. I'd rather have John Ross all day long. This is not the AJ Green of old. And you see AJ Green now, the big controversy is now him mouthing something to one of the assistant coaches yesterday on the bench. You know, that's something to keep an eye on. Now, obviously, AJ Green apparently, you know, hurt the hamstring again. But, you know, with that being the case, you know, Zach Taylor, you know, he's he's talking about the, you know, he didn't know AJ was hurt. And he, you know, there was just, if you look at the post-game interviews with Zach Taylor, and you hear the questions that were asked about AJ Green, it looks like AJ Green gave up and that there's just no injury there, because the way Zach Taylor was answering those questions, he was not going to bail out AJ Green and, you know, in some of the ways he was responding there. So it's kind of like, did he truly give up? I think he did. You saw on the interception pass where Joe Burrow, you know, just heaved it up there. It was over the head of AJ Green. He wasn't going to catch it anyway, let's be honest. But, you know, with that being the case, you know, it sure looked to me like AJ Green was giving up there on that. He was not going after that play. And that's something this team, you can't afford to have that. AJ Green will always be a team legend here. Go down as one of the greatest receivers we've ever seen in this franchise history. You can't deny that. But what we've seen so far from AJ Green is not, it's not beneficial to the team, and it's not beneficial to AJ Green himself. You know, it's time to part ways. Now, I don't know. I'll have to do a little more research on exactly what it would look like in terms of, you know, how you can pull that off. No team's going to take that contract. Hell, we're paying them $18 million a year or for this year. I mean, no team's going to take that contract on. But AJ Green flat out has given up on this team, and that's highly unfortunate, because that's not the way you want to see this go down and end. It's a shame. It's a shame to see it. But unfortunately, you know, that's the route we've gone down. So, you know, you look at the way this is played out. It's a shame. The Bengals, you know, overall, you know, what it could have looked like with John Ross, a guy who can take the top off of the defense, you know, you don't know. I mean, in a game like this, God only knows. Hell, the Bengals were 3 of 16 on third downs. 3 of 16 on third downs. So could John Ross have helped that? Maybe. Who knows? But, you know, AJ Green was targeted that one time, and that was it. That's all we saw. Who knows? Who knows what we would see? But next week, it's, you know, against the Indianapolis Colts. Plain and simple, AJ Green does not need to be active. Now, are they going to go down the route of that he's hurt? I don't know. I don't know how you go about that. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because it's not pretty. Plain and simple, it is just not pretty at all. You look at the final team statistics here. Bengals had 12 first downs, 3 via the run and 9 via the pass, compared to the Ravens, 17. 6 of those were on the ground, 10 of those via the pass, and then 1 via penalty. Again, Bengals were 3 of 16 on third downs conversions. That's only 19%. That's a pathetic, pathetic number. The Ravens were 7 of 15, 47%. Great job again by the Bengals defense of getting the job done defensively over the last three quarters, to where they did a great job of keeping the Ravens offense in check. And like I said, granted, it was not against a fully healthy Lamar Jackson, but still, Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson, and they forced him, you know, into some uncomfortable plays, and the Bengals defense got the job done. Fourth down, the Bengals were 2 of 3 compared to the Ravens 0 for 1. Total net yards, the Ravens racked up 332 compared to 205 for the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals ran 65 plays compared to 62 for the Ravens. Bengals averaged 3.2 yards per gain on, you know, per offensive play, compared to 5.4 for the Baltimore Ravens. Net rushing, Bengals averaged had 70 net rushing yards compared to 161. So again, the majority of this was during the first three drives of this game for the Baltimore Ravens, where they really did their damage. 135 net yards passing. Again, that's including the 48 yard sacked or sack yardage. You take that into consideration. Lamar Jackson, he threw for 180, but again, the net yard, the sack, the one time that he was sacked for 9 yards, they had ended up with 171 net yards passing. Overall, an average pass play, an average gain of 3.6 yards per pass was the average gain there. Bengals averaged seven punts, averaged 50.1 yards per punt. On the flip side there, the Ravens punted it four times for an average of 44.3, an average of 43 net yards punting there compared to 38.3 on the flip side for the Baltimore Ravens. Bengals had five penalties for 40 yards compared to four for 25 from the Baltimore Ravens. Red zone efficiency, the Ravens were two for two, and it ended up being a game where the Bengals saw an average, just an average game. As a Bengals fan, it's pretty much how it's going to be. It's it was, let's be honest, it was less than average. It was less than stellar, to be completely honest. The Bengals defense, like I said, did a good job over the last three quarters of this game. However, they were already down 17-0, and the offense had zero chance of getting any positivity going, because when it did, it would end in a turnover, whether it was the fumble. There were two fumbles. It was a strip sack by Patrick Queen, who that had to feel good for Queen getting his his sack and fumble recovery on Joe Burrow, his former college teammate. But then Queen also had the fumble recovery where he took it to the house on that Mike Thomas fumble in the fourth quarter there. It was a tough game to watch. The Bengals had 34 minutes and 39 seconds of time of possession compared to 25 minutes and 21 seconds for the Baltimore Ravens. So the Bengals had the majority of the possession by almost a full 10 minutes. But again, the Bengals just simply they couldn't get anything going offensively, and that was ultimately their downfall. And, in a game like that against the Baltimore Ravens, you simply cannot afford to have that happen, especially when the team was able to make adjustments like they did defensively. Sometimes the offense has to step up and make plays, and they just could not do it. The offensive line simply could not make it happen. And that's unfortunately, that was the reality of this game, and it might be the reality of, what we're going to see the rest of the season here from the Cincinnati Bengals. It's a shame, but unfortunately that's what we might be looking at for the rest of the season here. So we'll see what happens here next week. I will be back for another episode of As Brock's Bengals Thoughts, as I will be breaking down the Bengals and Colts game on Sunday. Also, side note, it's great to see Andy Dalton lead the Dallas Cowboys to victory, as he was able to come in for an injured Dak Prescott, who broke his ankle on a pretty nasty injury. Shame to see any player get hurt like that. Obviously, it's something you don't want. You never want to see anything like that happen. But it was something to where the Cowboys were lucky enough to have a veteran quarterback like Andy Dalton come in and get the job done. And that's what he did. Andy Dalton did a really good job of leading the Cowboys to a victory over the New York Giants last night in a game where Andy Dalton, like I said, it's amazing what happens when you have an offensive line that'll give you some time to throw. Andy Dalton made some great throws. Now, many people know that I've been a big Andy Dalton supporter my entire time that he's been here. I've been a Dalton fan. And so for me, that was really good to see a guy who gave his all for this organization and did so much for the community as well. And he was able to get the success that he did in that game against the New York Giants down in Dallas. So good for Andy Dalton. Extremely happy for him. That's great to see. So other than that, that's how I'm going to wrap up this episode here. It's going to be interesting to see how this week plays out. I'm curious to see if the that's always interesting, right? As I'm getting ready to wrap it up, in-law's phone rings. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens this week here, to see how things play out moving forward, because there's some things that have to get taken care of, plain and simple. So I'm curious to see what actually happens with that, and if the organization makes any moves to help, things play out a little more here. So we'll see. We'll see what they do. As for that, I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning into this episode of Asbrox Bengals Thoughts, brought to you by Impact Sports Cincinnati. Make sure you check out impactsportscincinnati.wordpress.com. Again, that is impactsportscincinnati.wordpress.com. Again, thank you guys so much for checking it out. I will be back again next week, again, where I'm discussing the Bengals-Colts game from this coming Sunday, so we shall see how that's going to go. Other than that, thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. Truly appreciate it. As always, follow me on Twitter at IamChrisAsbrock and at IsCincy on Twitter. That is at IamChrisAsbrock and at IsCincy on Twitter as well. And for all your fitness needs, make sure you guys check out fnxfit.com. That is fnxfit.com. Use the promo code BDiesel for 15% off of your purchase. Again, that is fnxfit.com. And use the promo code BDiesel for 15% off of your purchase. Now, that promo code does not work for anything that is a subscription item. So you'll get 15% off your purchase for anything that is a non-subscription item. So again, that's fnxfit.com. Make sure you use the promo code BDiesel for 15% off your purchase. As always, thank you guys so much for all your support. And I will be back next week. Thank you guys, and have a great rest of your week.